Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. This week, the news reported about a new book by Stephen Dawking, the world's most famous scientist, the one who's supposed to be the most intelligent person on the face of the earth. And in this book, he continues his story, his idea, his concept that there doesn't have to be a God to explain your and my existence or the existence of the universe or this earth. Daily Mail had the following to report on September 3. It says, God did not create the universe, says Stephen Hawking. In The Grand Design, the best-selling book author concludes, because there is law, such as gravity, the universe can and will create itself from nothing. Goes on to say, spontaneous creation is the reason there is something rather than nothing. Why the universe exists, why we exist. It's not necessary, he says, to invoke God to set the universe going. So his point is that the universe pretty much has always existed and created itself from nothing. It's interesting that I just picked up a book a couple of weeks ago, which I finished reading. And this book is written by the most famous atheist. However, he turned to theism. It's called There Is No God, and then the word no is crossed out and the word a is put on top of it, and it's written by Anthony Flew. And what I found remarkable is how he explains from a scientific standpoint how he had to do away with his beliefs in atheism and how he had to replace it with a concept, a belief in God. Now, of course, he is still at the very beginning of his journey when it comes to understanding God, and so there are many comments he makes in that regard, which I wouldn't agree with. However, it is very interesting how he explains from a scientific, evidentiary standpoint why there has to be a God. And he is challenging Mr. Dawking. He is actually discussing his concepts in his book and rejecting them. I'd like to read to you a few excerpts from this book. He is, for instance, saying on page 119, first, it is a hard fact that we live in a universe with certain laws and constants, and life would not have been possible if some of these laws and constants had been different. He goes on to say, nobody asks where the laws of physics come from. But even the most atheistic scientist accepts as an act of faith, notices, as an act of faith, the existence of a law-like order in nature that is at least in part comprehensible to us. He goes on to say, if you accept the fact that there are laws, then something must impose that regularity on the universe. What agent or agents brings this about? And then he talks about how he actually began his journey away from atheism. What was the cause for that? He says, when I first met the Big Bang Theory as an atheist, it seemed to me the theory made a big difference because it suggested that the universe had a beginning and that the first sentence in Genesis, quote, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, was related to an event in the universe. He goes on to say, if the universe had a beginning, it became entirely sensible, almost inevitable, to ask what produced that beginning. And then he relates another interesting observation, and you have to ask yourself a question. Here is somebody like Mr. Hawking, who has apparently one of the greatest IQs in the world. How come that he cannot understand what here Mr. Flew is talking about? He says, think for a moment of a marble table in front of you. Do you think that given a trillion years or infinite time, this table could suddenly or gradually become conscious, aware of its surroundings, aware of its identity the way you are? In other words, he's talking about the mystery of life. How is it that you actually exist, that you are a thinking being? He goes on to say, it is simply inconceivable that this would or could happen. And the same goes for any kind of matter. Once you understand the nature of matter, of mass energy, you realize that by its very nature, it could never become aware, never think, never say, I. But the atheist's position is that, at some point in the history of the universe, the impossible and the inconceivable took place. Undifferentiated matter, and here we include energy, at some point became alive, then conscious, then conceptually proficient, then an I. But returning to our table, we see why this is simply laughable. The table has none of the properties of being conscious, and given infinite time, it cannot acquire such properties. Even if one subscribes to some far-fetched scenario of the origin of life, one could have take leave of one's senses to suggest that, given certain conditions, a piece of marble could produce concepts. So the point is, he is saying those who believe that the universe came into being out of nothing by itself, that it creates itself, have lost their senses. Now, you have a choice to make. Do you believe in somebody or something which created everything we have, the universe? Or do you want to believe in the idea that the universe created itself? The Bible, of course, and I know that atheists don't accept what the Bible says, but the Bible is quite clear on the point. It says in Psalm 14, "That man is a fool, or he has lost his senses, if you please, who says to himself, there is no God." Why is that so? Well, because you can look at everything there is, and the idea that you can have faith in a self-creating universe and leaving God out of the picture, even though there are laws which would bring into possibility the fact that the universe could even create itself, if you want to say that, it's just not sensible. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 11, it says the following: "By faith, we understand," yes, we have to have faith, but it is sensible faith. It is logical faith. It is not a faith that the universe can create itself. Paul says, "By faith we understand that the universe was formed as God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." You see, God is a spirit. He is a spirit being. And so he created matter. He brought matter into existence. Matter had a beginning. The universe had a beginning. Something must have caused the universe to come into existence. The real reasons, my friends, why so many people don't want to admit that there is a creator who has created the universe and who has also created life on this earth and who has created you, the very reason for that is that we don't want to take responsibility. Because once we understand that there is a creator and there is a creation and that we are part of that creation, then we also need to understand that God expects something from us. There is a responsibility attached to this belief which many people don't want to adhere to. You see, in the book of Romans, Paul had to address the fact that we can clearly understand, based on what we can observe, that there is a God. But at the same time, people don't want to admit that because they don't want to then start living in the way which is pleasing to God. And so in Romans chapter 1, we read, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. Ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, have been clearly perceived in the things that have been made." So they are without excuse. "For although they knew God, they didn't honor him as God or give him thanks, but they became futile in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened." What faith do you want to absorb? Do you want to believe in a universe which created itself? Or do you want to believe in God who created the universe? But if you want to believe in God who created the universe, then you have to ask yourself the question, what does God want from me? Try to seek him. Try to find him. And try to find out his will for you. Thanks very much for watching. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.